Let me get to the photo gallery on rnz.co.nz/9to-noon because I bet there's some beautiful pictures there today, as always. Oh, look at that. From Kennedy Warne. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good. Whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm actually in Queenstown and looking across at the hillsides. It's just a wee bit early for the full glory of the autumn colour, but the trees are starting to turn yellow and red. So this is the time to be in central Otago, and I'm very glad to be here. Yesterday, I walked out on the last day of the Milford Track, and that's what we're talking about today. First time I've done the Milford Track. First time I've walked the Milford Track. These things aren't things to do. And actually, it's the first great walk for me. I have to confess that in the past, I've tended to think that great walks, the ones that the Doc has designated as these sort of main tracks for visitors to enjoy, were a little bit on the beaten track. Actually, 4 days walking the Milford Track has cured me of that little particular vanity. The Milford Track is undoubtedly a great walk. It's also not an easy walk, particularly if you happen to be crossing McKinnon Pass in gale force winds and squalls and clouds so low that one member of the party couldn't even see the...
Come back, Kennedy.
Hello.
There you are. You dropped out.
Are we not
Carry
doing
on.
So well?
No, we just dropped out midway through that sentence. Carry on.
Okay. Carry on. All right. Well, I was basically saying that we had, for us, the Milford Track, a four-day track, was a track of two halves, 2 days in lovely sunny weather, and then 2 days in classic Fiordland rain weather, which is right and proper for New Zealand's most beautiful and largest national park, that wonderful rainforest. But the first day, the lovely Clinton River with its many shades of green and blue, a beautifully clear, lovely river that you walk beside for the first day of the trip. At one point, I counted 8 trout holding place in a shallow area. A little later on, a fat, black, long-finned eel was just taking its ease. I heard stags roaring in the distance. This is the time of year hunters love the most, the roar, when the stags are advertising their prowess. Met hunters walking out. They'd been up some of the other arms of the of Te Anau. It's the Wapiti Ballot. So Wapiti, a breed of deer, and they're very prized by hunters, and you get a ballot to go in for a certain period of time. Most of the hunters that were coming out had not had luck, but one I noted was carrying an impressive rack of antlers. At the first night, the Clinton Hut, met Ross Haraway. When I asked him his name, he said, yeah, same as the porridge. Haraway's famous oats, 77 years old, 17 years a hut warden on the Milford Track, sharing his knowledge and stories with us. A nature walk in the late afternoon revealed to us that you could make coffee from the dried fruits of Caprosma. He mentioned how he'd seen carcass strip rotten beech wood for hoo-hoo grubs, and once came across a bellbird with a purple head through its consumption of nectar from fuchsia flowers. Lots of glorious tree fuchsias right throughout the Milford Track with their lovely orange shaggy peely bark, and they're a lovely tree. So orange, so contrasting with all the impressive shades of green. Ross told us told the guests about 40 of us travelling per day on the Milford Track. Told us the predator story, the trapping in the area. How I think 20 years ago when Theo the blue duck first assessed in that area, 9 pairs remaining. Now there are 90 pairs, busily breeding and producing young. And we managed one swam in close under a bank, and we were able to enjoy the sight and the lovely whistling call of the pheo. One thing Ross told us, he had to give us the obligatory message about not drinking tank water unboiled, which is Doc's standard message in the back country, but added that he's been drinking Fiordland water for 17 years. He joked that he was 5'6" when he started being a hut water 17 years ago, and through consumption of the water, he's now 6'6". But be that as it may, I must say, he added, if you can't drink the water in Fiordland, where in the world can you drink it? And I would agree. I never carry water in Fiordland. Drink from the streams, the trickles, and on McKinnon Pass, was happy to sip from the cup leaves of the Mount Cook buttercup. So Tarawa, the Clinton, then some of us got up to the pass before the weather closed in just to get that glorious view that Quinton McKinnon and his mate with a whose name escapes me were first Europeans to set foot on that pass. And there's a lovely memorial, rock memorial, to McKinnon on the tip of the pass with a cross, that's a stone cross that's being eroded away by the fierce winds and weather that blasts that that pass. And we came down the other side without mishap, and then the side trip to the Sutherland Falls, tallest falls in New Zealand, 580 metres, named for Donald Sutherland, that sealer, soldier, gold prospector, who, when he came to Milford Sound, uttered the famous words, "If ever I come to anchor, it will be here." And indeed, he did come to anchor there in 1878, built some little boarding houses, and then with his wife Elizabeth, built a much larger boarding house in 1890 for people he termed ash felters and shadow catchers, the first being city folk like myself, and the shadow catchers being photographers also like myself. So that was really the beginnings. And there are some parts of the track that haven't changed. They're still as they were in over 100 years ago. Other parts of the track have changed radically. Last year, there were avalanches, and great chunks of the track were torn out on the Milford side. The track now weaves through very impressive piles of trees that came down the mountainside, and you just get a constant sense of the power of water. Hillsides charged by the rain, turning into waterfalls, sprouting waterfalls and cascades, the track itself becoming a river. And that's a great experience. I love the Sutherland Falls, first time, of course, having seen them. They do a nice thing there. Doc has a marker at 580 metres, and you walk and says, well, when you get to the next marker, you will have walked the height of the falls, 580. One person who actually ascended it vertically was William Quill, a surveyor in his young 20s, just armed with a billhook and an alpenstock staff, clambered up there beside the falls and stood at the top. And for his efforts, the lake that from which the Sutherland Falls spills is named for him, Quill Lake. The feeling of the just quickly before I finish, the feeling of the whole walk, I've been reading actually listening to Merlin Sheldrake reading his wonderful book Entangled Life, which causes your ideas of individuality, where I begin and the world, where I end and the world begins, to crumble. The idea that we are all of us medleys of and collaborations of not just our own human cells, but bacteria and fungi, and we're a mélange of multifarious life. And I always get that sense in the outdoors. At one point, a beautiful male Miro Miro, a tomtit, perched 6 inches away, jet black head, creamy chest, motionless, beholding me with its quizzical eye. And just looking at this bird, feeling my connection with that and feeling recharged and rewilded. Lovely.
That's the beauty of it. It's always beautiful when you're underwater too and a fish comes up and eyeballs you again, Kennedy.
Same thing.
It is. Thank you. Thank you for the lovely images. Get home safely. Kennedy Warne, off the beaten track.